give me. I'll pick a gun.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so today's class is going to be about following regular principles and Vaishnava etiquette. This is following in the progression that we've been going through throughout the week. So the first class that Maharaj spoke about was the search for happiness and the importance of spiritual inquiry, where we discussed that it's a basic requirement for someone to come to Krishna consciousness, that they have to think about what their purpose is in life and why they're here and how to maximize their happiness, or if there is no happiness to be achieved, how to get out of this place altogether. The next day was saying that, okay, so you figured out what you want to do, and now you're thinking that in order to find out, you need to be in the company of people that are like-minded, so that you're in an environment that's conducive to do so. So for example, you guys, you decided to come on this trip because you realized that there is some need for higher thinking in life, and that you need to figure out what life is about. So you all came on this trip. And by coming on this trip, you've done exactly what I just said. You've come into the association of devotees. And now that you're in the association of devotees, we spoke about the power of chanting and of reading, hearing and chanting, which is best done in an environment like this. And now that you're chanting and reading, you're feeling the potency of the process, and you're actually in a position to be able to much more easily give up, to follow regulative principles and to follow Vaishnava etiquette. And this is what Maharaj will be speaking about today. So I'll give it over to Maharaj, and there you go.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
sabri braj vichar jash rod shishnan ac bhakti vedanta shami raj prabhad ki jay jai om vishnu pad panaman sabri braj vichar jash rod shishnan bhakti siddhanta sarshati go shami raj prabhad ki jay ananta koti vaishnavin ki jay nama charja shila vidas thakur ki jay Shreem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vinki Jai Shri Siddhartha Krishna Goku Binath Sham Kunradha Kunidhi Guvartan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamana Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Is this machine doing anything now? Is this machine doing anything? There's all this open real estate over here, and there's more people coming in, so why don't we... I see we have a board to be seen also. Yeah, this can just go out. While we're at it, if you have any cell phones, you can take this opportunity to throttle them.
Yeah, we want babies crying in the middle of the class. Turn your babies off.
Babies off. Yeah, if you have any babies, throttle them. Settled? Everybody okay? First, I'm happy to announce a new book from BBT, just published. This is Srila Sanatana Goswami's Sri Krishna Lila Stava. This is translated by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. It's the second book by Srila Sanatana Goswami that BBT is publishing. Srila Sanatana Goswami wrote four books. The two that we haven't published are Hari Bhakti Vilas and Vaishnava Toshini, which is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Can we do better here?
Krishna Lila Stava is a summary of the first 45 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, in the form of meditations or prayers by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He very nicely summarizes these pastimes in offering obeisances to Krishna as it goes along. There's a brief commentary also by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. And it's not a very big book. It's
about 350 pages, including the index, but very sweet and provides a very nice way to remember Krishna's pastimes. Krishna Lila Stava. It's also very beautifully produced by the North European BDG. Nicely designed and nicely produced. Gorgeous book. So rush out to your local bookstore. It will be available from Krishna.com store or here in Europe, I'm sure, from what's it called? Bhaktivedanta Library Services. They'll certainly have copies. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Raga,
raga,
dvesha,
dvesha,
vimuktais,
vimuktais,
tu,
tu,
vishayan,
vishayan,
indriyais,
indriyais,
sharan,
sharan,
atma vashyar,
atma vashyar,
vidhe atma,
vidhe atma,
prasadam,
prasadam,
adigachati,
adigachati,
Ragadesha vimuktaistu
Ragadesha vimuktaistu
Vishayan indriyais charan
Vishayan indriyais charan
Atma vashyar vidhe atma
Atma vashyar vidhe atma
Prasadam adigashyati
Prasadam adigashyati
Ragadesha vimuktaistu
Ragadesha vimuktaistu
Vishayan indriyais charan Atma Vashyar Vidhe Atma
Atma Vashyar Vidhe Atma
Prasadam Adigachyati
Prasadam Adigachyati
Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu
Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu
Vishayan Indriyais Charan
Vishayan Indriyais Charan
Atma Vashyar Vidhe Atma
Atma Vashyar Vidhe Atma
Prasadam Adigachyati
Prasadam Adigachyati Ragadvesha vimuktaistu Vishayan indriyascharam Atma vashyar vidhe atma Prasadam adigachyati Ragadvesha vimuktaistu Vishayan indriyascharam Atma Vashyarvide Atma Prasadam Adigachyati
Can I suggest that those who are over there move up so that you don't get banged into by the door and so on? And tomorrow the men who come in might consider using this door, which gets you there. Without your having to do what you're doing. Yes?
Ragadvesha vimuktaistu
Vishayan
indriyascharan
Atma
vashyar vidhe atma Prasadam adigachyati Ragadvesha vimuktaistu
Vishayan indriyais charan
Atma vashyar vidhe atma Prasadam adigachyati
Raga
Raga
Attachment
Attachment
Dvesha
and detachment.
Vimuktai,
Vimuktai
by one who has become free from.
The one who has become free from.
two.
Vat.
Vishayan.
Sense objects.
Indriyai.
By
the senses.
Charan.
Acting upon.
Atmavashyahi.
Under one's control.
Dhyatma.
One who follows regulated freedom.
Prasadam.
The mercy of the Lord.
Adigachati.
Attains. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. Purport. It is already explained that one may externally control the senses by some artificial process, but unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is every chance of a fall. Although the person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment to sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, he is transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything ordinarily undesirable, and if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would have done ordinarily for his own satisfaction. Therefore, to act or not to act is within his control, because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is the causeless mercy of the Lord, which the devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached to the sanctuary. Tasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamainam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sativam Sadaitam Sadhutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vansha ko patarubhyascha kripa sindho vyayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What have they done here?
raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashar vidhe atma prasadam adigachtati. Two means but. Now this is a contrast. Actually, Krishna is giving here two sequences, one degrading and one uplifting. The degrading one has already been described. Dhyayato vishayapam sam sangasteshu vijayate. Sangat sanjayate kama kaman krodho vijayate. Krodhad bhavati sammohad sammohad smriti vipramaha. Smriti bramshad buddhi nasho buddhi nasha pranashati. Krishna says that this is the beginning of material existence, dhyayata. To start thinking about something for sense gratification. Prabhupada explained that he put it in a practical terms. It appears in the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada said material existence begins when you see a girl and you think, she's nice. Then the meditation begins. Why is she nice? Well, nice smile, nice teeth, nice something, nice something, nice something, nice something, nice something else, and something, and something, and something. And then the next thing is, hi, what's your name? And then the next thing is, lust is growing. That the next thing is, you know, I've been looking all over for someone like you. And the next thing is, I can't live without you. I want to die for you. What is it for Aunt Bonnie, Annie, Laurie? I'll lay me down and tea. You know, I'd die for you. Then the next thing is, when sense gratification is not as expected, I hate your guts. I'll kill you. Krodhad bhavati sammoha. One becomes completely bewildered. He forgets, this is my wife, or this is my friend. Becomes bewildered. Smriti vibramaha. He loses his memory, forgets who he is, forgets what is what. Smriti bramshad buddhi nasha. Then intelligence is lost, loses his mind. Buddhi nashad pranashati. And then you're finished. When you lose your intelligence, then it's all over. I gave that example yesterday, the day before, about that young art student and the kind of involved with the wife, you know, powerful Italian construction worker. That's called buddhi nasha, losing your brains. But how does it begin? It begins by meditation. He had no business meditating on this man's wife. Meditation begins, one thing leads to another, and pretty soon your life is in danger. But raga dvesha vimuktaistu, two means but. On the other hand, but raga dvesha vimukta, one can become freed from raga and dvesha. Raga means attachment. Raga. We get, yes, the opposite of raga is vairagya, renunciation. Raga dvesha, dvesha means hatred. That's the other side of attachment, is hatred. When I don't get the sense gratification from you that I expected, then I hate your guts. Raga dvesha, attachment and aversion. Vimukta. When one is freed from these, vishayan indriyaischaran. Yes. The in
involvement with the senses and sense objects. Atma Vashar, when he's self-controlled. Didhe Atma, Didhi Atma. By Didhi, rules and regulations. Prasadam Adigashtati, then he attains Prasadam. Prasadam has two meanings, maybe more, but at least two. One meaning is, you're very familiar, Krishna's mercy. And another meaning is satisfaction. Prasad also means satisfaction. So when one is self-controlled, when one's senses are out of control, then lusty desires can never be satisfied. Insatiable. But when one is self-controlled, then he's satisfied. This is austerity of the mind. What is that? When austerity is described, then there's austerity of the body, austerity of words, and austerity of the mind. And what is that austerity of mind? Austerity of mind is satisfaction. I guess it's 18th chapter someplace. But where exactly? That's a great question. Ah, there it is. It's where I looked the first time and didn't see it. Chapter 17. Mana prasada somyaktam monamatma vinigraha pavasam shudhiriketa tapo manasamuchita. This austerity of the mind begins with mana prasada. Just be satisfied. Because you're not going to be any happier agitating the mind. Oh, if only I could have, I wish I could have, could I have? I have, but could I have more? Just whatever's going on. All right. This much I have. Hare Krishna. Mana prasada, to be, for the mind to be tranquil, for the mind to be satisfied. The mind will not be tranquil unless it's satisfied, and it doesn't become satisfied by looking for satisfaction. Seeking satisfaction. You know, people are looking for happiness. People are seeking happiness. Happiness is already there. Just be satisfied. Mana prasada somyatvam. Somyatvam means simplicity, straightforwardness, simplicity, gentleness. Maunam, this is another austerity, keeping one's mouth shut. And atma vinigraha, yes, self-control. And bhavasam shuddhir, purification of one's existence. These are all austerities, but what is the result of austerity? Brahmasokyam tunantam. By austerity, one becomes happy. One thinks that austerity means misery. And it does. It means a little suffering. But the little suffering is small compared to the suffering of those who are trying to enjoy. The nature of the material world is such that those who are trying to enjoy suffer the most. And those who give up the pursuit of enjoyment are happy. That's how it works. So The first thing is mana prasad, for the mind to be satisfied. But how will the mind be satisfied? The mind will not be satisfied with nothing. My dear mind, please be satisfied. All right, what will you give me? Nothing. Well, could we try again, please? The mind wants something. But if we give it simply gratification of the senses, the mind will remain ever dissatisfied. But if we give the mind engagement in Krishna consciousness, the mind will be very happy. The mind will be very happy. Yes. Oh, the mind is meant for thinking of Krishna. And by thinking of Krishna, the mind will be happy. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. This is continuing the sequence. By following some regulative principles, controls the mind and becomes satisfied where it gets Krishna's mercy. And prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. By getting the mercy of Krishna or by being self-satisfied, one gets freed from all miseries. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. Prasanna chetasa yashu budhir paryabhidhishtadi. And for such a happy-minded person, the mind is very quickly, intelligence is fixed. Budhir paryabhidhishtadi. So that's also described, prasanna chetasa yashu budhir paryabhidhishtadi, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata. Then what's that? Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Then mukta sangasya jayate. The Krishna conscious person, by engaging in the process of devotional service, as we were hearing about yesterday, hearing and chanting, evam prasanna manaso. One becomes freed from passion, freed from ignorance, and he becomes happy minded. Prasanna manasa means happy-minded. Yes, evam prasanna manaso. How? Bhagavat bhakti yoga, by contact with devotional service to Krishna. And bhagavat tattva vijnanam, one gets realization of the factual science of Krishna. And mukta sangasya jayate, gets freed from all material association, which means he comes to the spiritual path. So now we get to this part, Vidheyatma, regulative principles. This is the what scares everyone away from the Krishna consciousness movement. They very quickly find out that we have four regulative principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no life. Because this is what they think life is. So they may think this is horrible, or this is terribly austere, or this is artificial, or this is depression, this is this, this is that. But actually, it's real human life. It's real human life. Human life is not meant for intoxication, gambling, flesh eating, and woman hunting. It's meant for self-realization. Otherwise we're misusing the human form of life. Expanding these activities, gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, getting involved in these things means expanding one's misery. Intoxication, just to take an example. Of course, we know about the gross, horrible side. Someone becomes addicted to cocaine or this or this or this or this. Otherwise, he just becomes mildly crazy. Let's take the national intoxicant, alcohol. Either if one drinks in moderation, as recommended by the liquor companies, then one just becomes mildly dull. Because anyone who studies the psychopharmacology of alcohol understands that alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol is not a stimulant, it's a depressant. I'm not making this up, you know, go to your psychopharmacology books. Alcohol is a depressant. By drinking alcohol, one becomes, therefore your response time, why shouldn't you drive a motor vehicle when you're after you've drunk, been drinking? Because your response time is slower, because your judgment is hazy. That's why men like to get women to drink, because their judgment becomes hazy, and then you can take advantage of them. So alcohol means clouding the mind. Is that good for the human being? To take your mind and fuzz it up. But people are doing that and getting in all sorts of difficulties if they don't get the grosser things like cirrhosis of the liver, or death by car accident or serious injury by car accident. You know, terrorism is nothing compared to the danger of being on an American or European highway. Terrorism is hardly a threat at all. But this is all going on in the name of happiness. People, number one, are losing money. And especially those who can least afford it drink the most and lose the most money. And one becomes dull. Or pregnant, that's also. You become pregnant, or your girlfriend becomes pregnant because, you know, loss of judgment. One thing leads to another. Now, the end of the trail here is buddhi-nashat, lose your intelligence. So this is the quick way to lose your intelligence. Why should you lose your intelligence by the slow, subtle way when you can just knock out your intelligence quickly in the pub? And people are thinking, I'm expanding my happiness. And you see all the pictures, the advertisements, people with big smiles and upraised glasses. You know, what's the enjoyment? What are we so happy about here? Actually, it means to become stupid. If you want to keep the populace in check, you know, you could do anything to them. Just make sure there's enough liquor. And they'll, you know, basically live with anything you do to them. Because they'll become dull. Oh, intoxication of all sorts. You know, there's ups and downs and middles and all of these things. But they don't lead anywhere in terms of spiritual advancement, certainly. They don't increase creativity, as people sometimes think. They don't increase anything except confusion. So one who wants to make spiritual advancement, or even any kind of advancement, is advised to avoid intoxication. Intoxication, gambling. Gambling is also a good way, you can lose a kingdom that way. You can lose your wife that way. You can lose everything that way. And people do that. They have a habit, gambling habit. And people who can't check their senses give away everything. You know, they come home and they've just given away their paycheck and everything because gambling. This lottery is also, what is it? You know, one lucky winner, that means, what, 3 million losers. And the studies have shown, usually the lottery is sponsored by the state, And the reason is because they use the money for uplifting the lower class of people by education and housing projects and so on. But it has conclusively been demonstrated by statistical studies that the people who spend most money on lottery tickets are people from the lower classes. You know, no person who's really sophisticated, if a sophisticated person figures it out, this is stupid, why should I spend money on this? But the people who typically read the astrology columns and whatever the lowbrowest of the lowbrow papers is, they're the ones who spend money on lottery tickets with the dream of winning, you know, £10 billion and having a wonderful life. So it's foolish. It's dull. And of course, the people who profit from gambling are the cheaters, and of so many kinds, you know, the casino owners, the state bureaucrats, and so on, who are taking money and diverting it for their own purposes, and presenting we're uplifting the poor by the lottery. So many vested interests are involved. Where you find gambling, then you find corruption. There was some article, I didn't read it, but it zipped by in the paper the other day, that since casinos have been established in such and such place, crime has moved in. And that's the typical pattern. Gambling means all the illegal things. There must be gambling without drinking, what's the point? And gambling and drinking without women, what's the point of that? So then prostitution and everything comes in the wake of gambling. And so you're raising money for the state by establishing gambling houses, casinos. But now it's going to cost you 10 times as much for the police force. And so many other things are going to come because gambling breeds crime and corruption. Gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. What's the direct macrocosmic effect of meat eating?
War, yeah.
War. The karmic result of meat eating, you're killing and killing and killing, brutality, just killing so many creatures. Now the result will be that you'll march off to be killed. So many of your men will be marched off to the slaughterhouse, whether it's the Iraqi one or the Vietnamese one or this one or that one. It will. Violence, meat, all that sort of breeds more violence. So you'll die that way from this gross brutality. And so many other things. Of course, one's individual karma, what one has to suffer for killing innocent animals. Therefore, meat eating is called mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. So according to the Vedic principles, meat eating is allowed in sacrifice. The meat eaters are allowed once in a month on the dark moon night. They can sacrifice not a cow, but a goat or some significant animal before the goddess Kali. And while performing the sacrifice, they're told to whisper in the ear of the goat, "And now I'm killing you. And next life you can kill me." Mam saha. So me and he. The person who I'm killing, next time can kill me. Purpose is that to discourage meeting. In every scripture, meeting indeed is restricted. You can't eat this kind of meat, you can't eat that kind of meat. There's no restriction on bread. Why this restriction on meat? Because actually it's bad. For those who are insistent, all right, this kind only, that only under these conditions. In the Bible also, you build an altar so many cubits by so many cubits, and you sacrifice the animal in such and such way, and the priests sprinkle the blood on the crowd, that's part of the thing, and then you can have your meeting. It's restricted. Not that you just open the slaughterhouse and make a factory and kill so many animals and wrap them up in plastic. And so so much suffering for other living beings and for oneself. The statistics of accidents and suicides and just worker-related misery is huge for the people who are doing animal slaughter. It's like the number one industry where these things are happening. And illicit sex, of course, is the most popular of the sinful activities. Because the Maya is so arranged that one thinks one's going to enjoy. Yattaragre na vishyendriya samyoga yattaragre amritopino. Vishya indriya samyoga. By the conjunction of the senses and the sense objects, a happiness is produced that, in the beginning, agre appears just like nectar. Amrita upama means like nectar. Or another meaning of amrita means undying. You know, our love will have no end. It will go on forever. I'll love you till the end of time. You know, all that kind of stuff. It appears that it will, you know, the happiness is just going to go on and on. But pariname vishaniva, in the end, it becomes bitter, like poison. Tatsukam rajasamsmitam. That's the nature of happiness in the mode of passion. Sex means passion. And the nature of happiness in passion is that that happiness turns to suffering. Radasastu palam dukkam, the fruit of rajagun, is misery, not happiness. Well, this is Maya's trick. One thinks it's going to be happiness, but actually it's going to be suffering. And where is actual happiness? Yattaragre vishamiva. In the beginning, it seems like poison. Can't do this, you can't do that. You have to do, you know, this austerity, that austerity. It's like poison. But yattaragre vishamiva parinama amritopino. At the end, it becomes like that. That's the difference. Tatsukam. Sattvikam proktam atmabhuti prasadajam. This is conducive to self-knowledge and spiritual realization. We read that the other day in Kapil Dev's teachings. If you want to wipe out all your good qualities, then have illicit sex. You know, chum up with women and men who are attached to women. And you'll lose everything. Truthfulness, austerity, it all just goes. So the we don't say no sense gratification. We don't say no sex. It's allowed, but regulated. Regulated means in such a way that to the extent that happiness is possible, you'll have it. And your miseries will be minimized. All of these love affairs and passionate scenes and people committing suicide and all of that. Unnecessary. Sex is sex, after all. So whether it's this one or that one. So finally, the Vedic system is not only in Indian culture, every culture, that all right, one husband, one wife, live within that, and be responsible. And don't make your whole life the life of a dog chasing the other dog around. There was a cartoon, the nature of dogs. There's a cartoon I saw somewhere. It was an interview show. And the audience is there, and the interviewer is there, and the person being interviewed, and they're all dogs. And the dog in the polka dot dress is saying to the interviewer, she says, "Oh, Jeff, it was so romantic. First we chased some car wheels, and then we had some really good chow. And then he said to me, 'Can I smell your butt?'" I said, "King, I thought you'd never ask." But this is the society that's out there. They're just dogs. They're after the same thing that the dog is after. And all the dogs in the audience, they're all going, "Woof, woof, woof, woof." Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are there in human life and the dog life. But that's not the purpose of human life. Eating, all right, eat, but not eating. Eating anything, everything, anywhere, anytime, any place, any amount. You'll make yourself miserable, as people are doing. Why are people so sick? Mostly what they eat, and how much, and when. And sleeping. Pills and this and that because their minds are so agitated. Unrestricted mating like cats and dogs, and fighting like cats and dogs. The human life is not meant for that. The human life is meant for dharma. Human life is meant for self-realization. Human life is meant for Krishna consciousness. And it begins with following some rules and regulations. The rules and regulations, as Prabhupada points out here, are very difficult to follow for those who are not Krishna conscious. Those who have some artificial method, Prabhupada says. One may externally control the senses by some artificial process, you know, by force. That's very difficult, the yogis who are trying to control their senses. But if one engages the senses in the service of Krishna, then the mind becomes happy, the senses become happy. Just like meat eating. Stopping meat eating may be very difficult, but if you have nice Krishna prasadam, then it's not difficult at all. In that way, all the senses are to be engaged in Krishna's service. And this is called the path of freedom. Yoga bhavati dukkha. One can get free from all miseries by leading a regulated life. The life, you know, it's like... passion means unregulated life, where, you know, burning the candle at both ends, doing this, doing that, extreme this, extreme that, extreme food, extreme sports, extreme sex, extreme, you know, everything. And you become extremely ruined. But real progressive human life means regulated. The Ayurvedic doctors will tell you, wake up every day at the same time, take your meals the same time, take rest the same time, do everything, you know, the same way, same time, day after day. What happens? You're healthy. Get up early, take your bath, do this. Because it's regulated, as far as it's possible to be healthy, you'll be healthy. And, you know, late nights and late mornings and eating any time, any amount, anything, any way, you kill yourself. So regulated life, regulated eating, regulated sleeping, regulated sense enjoyment, regulate everything. Calm down. Then yoga bhavati dukkha. One gets free from miseries, unnecessary miseries. So this is yoga, yukta hara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasya, yukta svapna vabodhasya, yoga bhavati dukkha. Everything regulated. the person who has no self-control will be miserable, and the self-controlled person actually becomes happy. All right, let's stop here. Any questions? Planets are off limits for the meat eaters.
So
there are other planets he can go to.
So does that mean that a follower of Islam can never go, can become elevated?
Can a follower of Islam become elevated? They become elevated because they restrict their meat eating somewhat. Even for the followers of Islam, there are some restrictions on meat eating. So that's to their benefit. And there are other things in Islam that are uplifting. But the defect in, let's say, Islamic culture, because Islam doesn't require meat eating. It's not that you have to kill animals to be a Muslim. But the defect in, let's say, Arab culture or Middle Eastern culture in general is this cruelty in diet. So we can recommend to the followers of Islam also that your Islam is very nice, but what is this killing of animals?
Can they ever go back to the spiritual?
Spiritual world, no. How can you go to the spiritual world and be killing them or something? Something has to change.
So when Srila Prabhupada used to say it's okay to continue to follow Islam. When Srila Prabhupada
We're not against Islam. Islam is good. But just the diet, that just like Christianity is not bad, but you look at what people are eating. So we're not against Islam. Islam is good. To be subservient to Allah or God, fine. But what is this diet? Change that.
Carrying on from that, yesterday I was having, this is not specifically about me, but yesterday I was having a conversation with some boys in the room, and someone mentioned that Prabhupada said that Allah is Krishna, just in a different form.
Yeah, Allah means what? All merciful, all compassionate. What's Allah? All merciful, all compassionate, one other thing? All knowing, almighty? So almighty, all compassionate, all knowing. So who is that? Who's almighty? Who's has all compassion and all mercy? That's God. So Allah is another name for God, and Krishna is God. But therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met the Chandkashi, he didn't say, you know, what is this Islam? But what is this animal killing? The cow is your mother, and you're killing your mother. So what's going on? That was the topic. And when Prabhupada met Christians, that was typically the topic. It wasn't all about theology. It was all about, you know, we can't even talk about, from Prabhupada's point of view, you know, I can't even begin to talk about theology. You know, it's like sitting with a drunkard. Like I was a drunkard or a Christian. I was at Ratiyatra in New York, and this guy sits down. You have questions and answers. Guy sits down, and he's got his girlfriend in a little miniskirt, and she sits down and, on his knee, and he says, could you tell me something about your philosophy? Yeah. But it's going to start with, you know, some subtle hints about your sex life. You know, what are you going to understand about philosophy while you're a cat or a dog? First you have to become a human being, then we can talk about philosophy. So while you're busy in the, you know, in carnivorous eating, then it's going to be very difficult to understand finer points of philosophical understanding. Because you're in the business of causing extreme suffering to other living beings, and at the same time you want to be advanced in God consciousness. So this is contradictory. So our message is not change from one religion to another, but follow these core regulative principles and chant the holy name of God. Yeah, that also. That was another discussion. Yes.
Do we consider the cause to be part of our scripture?
Sometimes, from this point of view, that is teaching about the supremacy of God. We don't rely upon it as authority. But something good is there. It's teaching about the submission to God and supremacy of God. So from that point of view, it has, we respect it. You know, there's so many books teaching about other things. They're teaching about God consciousness. That's good. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's some flaws there. But this is, before we even get to that, what is this diet? You know, your mother is giving you milk and then you're slitting her throat. What kind of religious principle is that?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, sometimes we come across certain people who don't understand the need for us as human beings to have milk, because they consider that every animal generally stops having milk after the period in which the mother is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems unnatural that human beings have milk after this period.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, human beings are not like every animal. The animals also don't go to school, so what's the need for the human being to go to school?
What's the benefit of having milk? And Prabhupada mentioned one of the purposes about milk having a very potent effect on someone's spiritual life.
First of all, Prabhupada said it nourishes. It's if you look in Ayurveda, it's all good for the human being. It's nourishing, builds strength, it helps intelligence. It's good in so many ways.
So then, in terms of the modern culture, and how cows are treated nowadays,
that's not very good.
So how do we balance the two?
What can you do? Everything is contaminated. You drive in a car, and so many things are there. They've killed people to get the oil. They've exploited people to get the rubber for the tires. Everything is polluted. That's not very good. If you live on grapes, so they've exploited the poor Mexican, grape pickers. Everything is. Yes. Either way, from frustration of you get it, you're in trouble, you don't get it, you're in trouble. Sex is good both ways.
Was it the frustration of when it leads to children and so on? Was something that people get from children? So I'm just wondering, how do we understand when we get certain people in society, like rock stars or footballers?
So which one? If they're so happy and content, why are they going from one to the next, to the next, to the next? They're marrying, divorcing. That's happiness? Marrying and then go to the church and then go to the courthouse. Go to the church and go to the courthouse. That's your idea of happiness? If you're so happy, why did you break up? But they're always doing that. Celebrities, it's not that they're happy, then they settle down. They're always like, why are you, if you're happy, why are you roaming around?
But could
not free, they're bound. They have to go from person to person. It's not like the dog is exhibiting his freedom. He's exhibiting how he's a dog. You know, it's not that he's made a conscious, willful, thoughtfully arrived at decision to go chasing after his counterpart. He has to, because his senses are telling him to, because he's a dog.
Obviously, you've never met somebody who's been divorced. If you've met anybody who's been divorced, it isn't miserable. After you've invested so much of your life in some person, and suddenly they just turn on you, or you somehow turned on them, whatever. You know, I know people who've been, it's most miserable. One of my best friends, I just go every day and wake him up, and he had to take pills to stay awake. He just didn't want to live anymore. First of all, you're talking about actors. They always show a nice smile. Right.
Yeah, that's one of the...
I said, they get paid for showing that they're smiling.
Yeah, they're paying people to show them, to show the world how happy they are. You know, they've got press agents that are putting out the image of how, whatever it is, that they're bad boys, or that they're good boys, or that they're whatever. it's all manufactured. Someplace on Fleet Street or Madison Avenue. But this is not possible to be happy that way. The husband's sleeping around, the wife is sleeping around. What is that happiness? And, what are they getting? The same thing that they're getting, out there is the same thing they were getting at home. So what is the big deal? Adanta Govi Vishatanta Mishra. Their senses are uncontrolled. There's a story in Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a man who was old and diseased, but he had a very faithful wife. But this man was attracted to some prostitute. So the wife is serving him very, faithfully, but she saw that he's not happy. So finally she said, I'm trying my best to serve you, but I see that you're not happy. Well, but what is it? No, I'm after this prostitute. So the woman went to the house of the prostitute and just began serving there, cleaning and cooking. And the prostitute said, finally, what's up? No, my husband wants to spend the night. Prostitute began to laugh. You don't know how much I cost. I'm not your ordinary streetwalker. I'm expensive. So, anyway, the wife is working, and I think finally she prostituted herself. Anyway, she finally got up enough cash that she was able to tell the husband, now, tonight, you can meet with such and such, this woman that you're dreaming about. So, the man went to the flat of the prostitute, and they didn't just go right to it. Things are a little refined in Vedic culture. First, there's some eating and so on. So the prostitute had prepared some nice food for the man, and she served him everything, but in two pots, some sabji in an iron pot and some sabji in a gold pot. Some sweet rice in an iron pot, some sweet rice in a gold pot. Everything, same preparations in two pots. So she's feeding the man. How do you like it? She gave him some from the gold pot. How do you like it? Oh, very nice. And then from the iron pot, she said, how come two pots? No, first you eat it, see what you think. So he took from the iron pot and he said, it's awesome, very nice. So, but why everything in two pots? And it's the same preparation. Why everything in two pots? He said, because you're such a fool that the same thing that you're getting at home with your wife, you're coming to me for. And you think there's going to be a difference. Finally, sex is sex. The sex, what the happiness that the mosquito gets is the same happiness. So these actors and celebrities, they're going from one to the other to the other to the other. It's not that they're increasing their happiness. Becoming, and often we see that these are the people who are, you know, killing themselves and
rehabilitation.
You know,
rehabilitation
centers, and you know, they're alcoholics and they're this and they're that because they're so happy. They're the ones, you know, of course it's all headline stuff, you know. You know, Barbara marries such and such, or Barbara's going out with such and such, Barbara's dating this one, Barbara's dating, and then the next thing is Barbara breaks up with, you know, and then Barbara in rehab center, and then Barbara attempts suicide, and then, you know, and everybody's reading it, and it's, oh, Barbara this, Barbara that. But it's not, this is just passion and ignorance. People don't know to the extent that there's material happiness, it's in the mode of goodness. And real happiness is transcendental. Yes?
Marge, you described how living in the mode of passion is like, it seems quite simple, like, activity, like perhaps meat eating as well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, just how like living in the mode of ignorance, you get a lower birth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as living in the mode of passion?
No. Passion and ignorance is lower. From ignorance, one takes birth in the animal kingdom. From passion, one takes birth again among passionate human beings. But it means coming back. From goodness, one goes to the heavenly planets. And from Krishna consciousness, one goes back to God.
Is this like living the mode of passion? It seems like, you know, the activity is quite unrestricted. You know, there may be some meat eating, but so that means like they probably will get a birth necessitating that kind of activity.
Start again. I didn't hear the beginning.
So like living the mode of passion,
yeah.
Seems like, you know, like the illicit activity is quite unrestricted.
Is part unrestricted?
Like it's quite unrestricted.
Quite unrestricted, yes.
And like how meat eating is there, so they'll...
It's routine. Passionate life means routinely gambling, meat eating, woman hunting, intoxication.
Isn't there like a sort of punishment, more severe punishment than just getting a birth, you know, amongst like passionate people? Like,
yeah, there can be. First they have to pay. Yeah, you can go, you can be devoted to the hellish planets. Actually, passion, even passion can be, like Kshatriyas are supposed to be in the mode of passion, but dharmic. They follow, you can be following scripture and be in ignorance, be in passion, be in goodness. If you're in ignorance and following scripture, you'll gradually be elevated. If you're in passion, following scripture, you'll gradually be elevated. These people, they don't follow scripture. So they're degraded to the hellish planets and so on. Because they're not even within the realm of, you know, human life, practically. They're outlaws, so they're punished seriously. Mode of passion is just disease. But doing these things, it's like being diseased and you know, breaking all the doctor's rules at the same time. Make things much worse. Otherwise, a passionate person, he can serve within, you know, there's space in progressive life for passionate people. They can follow rules and regulations and, you know, make progress. You know, they're the doers. Passionate people, they're achieving, they're doing, they're controlling, they're, you know, so kings, and, you know, they can do that. But they can do it within the realm of law. And they'll be elevated. Otherwise, just following your passion.
Well, when we talk about these four principles, and talk about the benefits of following them, we often use quite extreme examples of why it's not a good, you know, drug addicts and drunkards and things like that.
Yeah, what's wrong with the guys who just take a little nip now and then? Yeah, therefore I mention them also. They're just clouding their consciousness. You know, they're not doing...
Aside from spiritual reasons, just on the logical...
You know who sponsors these? It's very interesting to look and see who the sponsors are for this scientific research. No, really. I mean, there's a... It's just... people don't examine it. But so much of the tobacco research is sponsored by the tobacco companies. The alcohol research is sponsored by the alcohol companies. The, you know, name another kind of research, it's, you know, the research on anything. So often you look at the research showing that there's no harmful effects from cathode ray tube monitors, sponsored by the manufacturers of cathode ray tube monitors. You know, this is the nature of science. Science is not, you know, we talk about pure science. Scientific research all has sponsors. You know, scientists are supposed to be the Brahmins of society, but they're all paid. They're all employees. That means they're all Shudras from a Vedic point of view. So they have to do what is going to satisfy their masters. You know, drug research and so on, you know, sponsored by. This is part of the problem. So you get all this alcohol research that shows that alcohol is really good for you. You know, you just, as long as you don't overdo it, it'll make your heart better, it'll make your, you know, increases well-being, da 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 da. We're not interested in their scientific research. We have our, we skipped the research, we've done it already. You know, alcohol is not a requirement for the well-being of human life. Or does it contribute to the well-being of human life? All those crops can be used for, you know, if you're worried about starvation in the world, people are hungry and so on. So all this stuff is coming from alcohol. Alcohol is coming from grains and so on. Why don't you use the grains to feed people? What's the better use of the land? To grow liquor and then fuzz out people's minds, or to grow grains for the benefit of hungry people?
Way back in the 50s here in Ireland, there was a very famous campaign, Guinness is good for you.
Guinness is good for you.
And it still goes on, but actually eventually somebody stepped in and said, this is a thing, people really believe it.
Yeah.
People really believe it. So still used these advertisements, but they had some regulations, so there wasn't people who weren't forced to.
Well, it teaches us something, right? The man has become an ass. Guinness is good for Guinness, that's all. But this is the nature of propaganda, that, you know, war is good for you, liquor is good for you, what else is good? You know, everything that's bad for you is good for you. You know, the petroleum companies are helping the environment. America's making the world a safer and more peaceful place. The whole world is just full of lies. Yes.
Maharaj, could you explain the verse is saying here that one becomes free from attachment at the mercy of Krishna? But like, I'm thinking of an example where Prabhupada, he would say that, you know, the American government has spent so much money trying to cure people of alcoholism and everything like that. But when it comes to our process, then you can give up alcohol. So it seems that they're getting the mercy of, you know, it's not that they can just give up, become detached from their addiction, but they're getting the mercy of Krishna in order to give up their addiction.
That's also true. If you get the mercy of Krishna, then you can, and you can regulate your senses. And if you regulate your senses, you can get the mercy of Krishna. So you do both. Chant Hare Krishna, get Krishna's mercy, control your senses, and the more you control your senses, the more you also get Krishna's mercy.
Hmm?
Yeah, sense control and Krishna consciousness go very well together. The more you become Krishna conscious, the easier it is to control your senses. The more you control your senses, the easier it is to become Krishna conscious. And the opposite, the more you let your senses run wild, the more your mind runs wild, the more your mind runs wild, the more your senses run wild. And, you know, where's the space for spiritual realization? Maybe, does someone want to give me a time indication? That ends, okay. More later sometime. Hare Krishna.